Okay, so we can resume our lecture. So before the break, we were looking at how we can write the simple definitions for the given XML file, and by defining the definitions of these elements which we have in the XML file that it should conform to based on what the definitions we have in the document type description. Okay, so here you see an example where we are defining different elements, and if you see, these elements are from the nutrition file. We have food, and in each of these food elements we have different subchilds, okay, child nodes. And here we have six different child nodes, or seven, and we are defining what kind of content they could have, and in that case we are defining it by providing them with the data type. Here we see that we have the data type parsed character data. That means that we can write anything when we are writing these elements. Okay. Let's say we have total fat element, okay, and we close it over here. And in that element, we could have text written, which will be a valid structure as per the given document type definition. Okay. Because here we see that we have the data type of this file as PC data. That means that we could write whatever we want here. Okay. In this case, it does not define any attributes at the moment, and it does not define any child nodes for this document. That means that we cannot create child of this element because it's not specified as per the given definition of this element. Okay, so if you see, we have only the data type defined with this. It does not define its further child elements or what it could have as child nodes. All we can see is it can have some sort of text over here, okay, and that text will be passed by the parser. So the parser will read this element, starting element, whatever is in between from the start till the closing element, it will parse it and it will convert it and display it into the browser as an output. And then it will look for the closing element tag. If you give any child node over here, for example, type of fat, okay, this is not defined in our definition. So if you want to have further childs, you need to first define it in the document type definition. If you do not define it, and if you use it over here, structurally this is correct, okay, because we do not have any structure issues. We have a total fat, okay, and then we created further child, and that's okay, that's fine. But if you want to validate this file against your document type definition, that means that your validator will take this file, check its content, and it will check the definitions from here. If this TOF child does not exist in the document, it will give you a validation error. That means that we can validate the XML file to a certain limit by creating it as a well-formed XML. Okay. But we cannot do further validation if we do not have the definitions with us. And why we need to have that? We have been looking into it quite oftenly and saying again and again, because XML contains all these user-defined elements. And a user can come up with any elements that he or she would like to have. So that means we need to put some constraints around it in order to tell them, or tell the browser, or tell the third person, that that's what we mean, that's what we can do with this XML file, that's the type of elements and the childs this file could have. Okay. So here is another example, defining sequence of elements. Childrens can only appear in the defined sequence. I gave you an example that we have this nutrition file, and in that nutrition file the first child is daily value. And then we could have many childs which are food elements, and we can have as many food elements as we want in the XML. But in this nutrition file we did not specify any restrictions, and all the restrictions that we have was by looking at this XML file, what we can judge from this. But it did not specify that we could have daily values after nutrition again or not. We could have that, and it's a valid XML file. But if we specify in the document type definition that we could have only one daily value and we could have as many as food values, then we are putting some constraints on our XML file structuring based on the document type definitions that we have for that given XML file. So here we see that we are defining. So whenever you see this exclamation mark, that means that it's a document type definition. We are defining the elements in that file. So here we have an element which we are defining, and the element name is daily value. This daily value is from the nutrition file that is already up on the front end. You might have gone through it quite many times. It has child elements. And here the child element is total fat, followed by saturated fat, followed by cholesterol, sodium, carb, fiber, and protein. Now here you see this comma sign. That means that the element which is appearing first should always appear first in your XML file. It cannot appear at the second position or at the third position. You could have some elements which are not needed here. Maybe you could have total fats, and you can skip the carbohydrates, you can skip the fats in some cases. Okay, but one element cannot precede the other element if it's not as in the definition. Okay. Next we see that we have the element, and we are defining it's a food element, this food element, and we have its child elements, and all these possible childs that this food element could have are already listed in this file document here. Okay, so we have the name, manufacturer, serving, calories, total fat, and everything, all the possible childs are already given for this food element in this case. Okay, so that means if we have a food, we cannot create a child which describe the properties of this food. Let's say whether the food was exotic food or not. Okay, whether the food is summer food or winter food or what kind of food it is. Okay, so we cannot define any other elements which are not defined in the document here. So we cannot use in our XML file unknown elements until or unless they are explicitly defined in this case. So here we see all these elements are defined. Okay, and then we have element vitamins, and it could have only two childs. The first child could be A and the second child could be C. It could not have a third child, and the C cannot come before A. Kay. Also we have element mineral, and we have two childs for it. One is CA and the other one is FE. Kay. So we can think of it as it is defining another, let's say I'm defining an element. And I have an element XYZ, okay, and I'm saying that this XYZ can contains these two elements. Now this is my DTD file, right? And I could have an XML file. So whenever I'm declaring this XYZ element, it could have these two as the child elements, or it could have first element and the second is not given, or it could have the second element and the first is not given in this XML file. Or we can not switch their positions, right? So these are the constraints that we see over here. We can further define, in this case we have an element, and this element contains two childs, okay? And we can further define what the content of these childs could be, okay? So we can write element, and we are defining what kind of element it is, okay? And then we can define its data type, okay? So we say that this element could have parsed character data. It can contain text, okay, as we have seen somewhere here, but it cannot contain these special symbols in the text. If we have to use any of these symbols, we have to use their entity references, okay? And we can also define the element B, as the same parsed content data, okay? So if this is our, let's say, document type definition file, and that's the definition, and if I ask you to create an XML file in which you have to use these elements, okay, and your XML file should conform to all the constraints which are governed by this document type definition, okay? So in the exam you could have this kind of DTD file, not that simple, maybe a bit long and bit complex, okay, in which you have to really think, and then you will be asked to create an XML file, and you could be given some scenarios. Let's say the XML file should contain a root element, and you can check what that root element is. So the root element should be this one. So you might not be explicitly given the name of the root element to create in your XML file, but you can check if you know the mechanism of writing your XML file by looking at the document type definition file, okay? So you can have your XML file, okay? You need to have the reference of this file as a first line, okay? I'm not writing that over here, but I'm assuming that the reference should be there. And then you can create the child nodes or these element nodes, okay? In this case, we have not specified how many child elements this element could have, okay? We will also see how we can do that. But in this case, we know that there should be one AAA element as a child of this one, and one BBB element as a child of XYZ. So when we are writing here, we can write XYZ, and then we are closing it just to make sure we are conforming to the well-formed XML, and then we can specify AAA element, okay? And it could have a text, so we need to close it, and we can write whatever text we would like to have here. For example, in this case I'm writing example, okay? Or, and then we can define the element B in this case. So we are defining B, and if we have no text to go with this one, we can close it as a self-closing element, okay? That means that it could have a text, or it cannot, we may not provide any text for this element. So that means we can use it as a self-closing element also. Or we can explicitly define the starting element and the closing element and do not give any text in between, okay? And we could only have a single element as it is, and this is still correct because it does not violate any of these conditions specified over here, okay? Now this is correct. We can also delete all this, and we can only have the second child defined, and this is still a valid XML file, Okay. So we have only one child represented in this case. But if we try to follow the child A, after we have declared the B, then we have an error in this XML file. So we cannot switch their positions because they are predefined, but we can use either this, either that, or both. And when we are defining them, we need to check what are their own properties, what are their own data types, and then we can give any text in between them. Okay. So these are the things that you have to keep in mind. And we could have empty elements also. So some elements may not have any content at all. And we can explicitly define it in the document type definition file. So here we see that we have an element. The name of the element is calories, and we are saying that it's empty. That means that the calories can have attributes. The attributes can have values. But the element calories itself cannot have any text defined in the XML file. Okay. So if you are using calories here, okay, it will not have any text in between them. But then why do we need to have a calories if it does not have any text? Okay. The calories in this situation could have child nodes, or it could have attribute values. Okay. So if you look at the nutrition file over here, we have the first root node, which is the nutrition, and this does not contain any text, but it has daily values and food elements, and the daily values have for the childs, and those childs have text values. Okay. So that means we could still have a need of an element which does not have its own text, but it could have child values for better structuring of the document. Okay. So in that cases, we can use the calories something like this. So whenever someone else is trying to use the calories element in their XML file using this document type definition, they will know that they cannot display any constant text or any kind of text in this calories element. Okay. So in the exam, you could have this type of statements, document type definitions, and you could be given an XML file that contains some errors. You might need to fix your XML file that conforms to this document type definition file. So these are all different kinds of exam question scenarios that could come your way during your exam. Now, we said that in this case that if we have a nutrition element, we specified by ourselves that it will only have one daily values and it could have as many as food elements. But if we do not have this document type definition, we will not know whether this condition is implied or it's not implied. We can only know it from our own assessment by looking at this file, or if we know by default that what we are trying to achieve. So we have been going through this nutrition file quite often, and you might have observed that in that nutrition file there is only one child element called daily value, which is a child of nutrition node. And then you have 10 food elements which are all child of this nutrition node. And the daily value is not appearing after the child node. Why? Because in our mind, we put a constraint that it should not be like this. The nutrition should have only one daily values and it could have as many childs as it wants. But if I give this XML file to someone else, I have to explain it to them. The better way of doing it is to provide the document type definition file. And in that file, we can have three wild character cards that tells us about the number of the child elements that an element could have. Okay. So in this case, if I write, okay, if I have this statement, if I want to write another A element, that will give invalidation error, because I have defined that this XYZ could have only one AAA element and only one BBB element in this case. Okay, if I want to have more A elements, that means I need to define certain wild character symbol to tell that we could have more elements of this type or not, okay, as a child to this element. So we have three different possibilities. We could put either a question mark, which tells us that this element could appear zero times or exactly one time. Okay. In this case, we have not specified anything. So if I put question mark after this, that means that it could appear only one time or none at all. Or we could have a plus sign that tells us it could appear one or more times. Okay. So if I put a plus sign in front of B, that means that we could have as many elements of B as we want, but it should at least be one. So this B element should always be present in this XML file. If it's not present here, as per this statement, it will not be an invalidated XML file. Right? Because we put a condition that the BBB element should at least occur once or occur as many times as we want. Okay. Or we could have asterisk sign, okay, that tells us that it could appear zero or more times. Okay. So these are the different conditions that could specify how many times the elements can occur in your XML document. So for example, if you have this XML file, okay, you can create, by looking at the XML file, its document type definition. And if you look at this file, and if I specify the condition that the nutrition have only two childs, okay, daily value and food, so that means I could write the definition element, okay, for which element I am talking about the nutrition element, and I am specifying how many childs it could have. So I'm specifying it could have a daily value and a food element. Okay. And a daily value should always be one, so I'm not specifying anything. So that means it should always occur once. And about the food elements, how many we could have? By looking at this, we can assume that there should be at least one food element. Let's say we are putting a condition. Okay. That means that we could have either one or as many as we want. Okay. So you can generate the document type definition by observing your XML file. Okay. And then you can check what could be the childs of food element, and you can further define the element food and what could be its child element. And that's what we have already seen in one of these slides before. So here we see that we have an element nutrition, we have daily values, and we have food. So we have one daily value, and we could have as many food elements as we want in our document. Okay. If you try to put daily values after the food element, it will not be validated. It will have some errors. Okay. If you don't have any daily values, you have all the food elements, it will still be not validated. It will have some errors in this case. Okay. And also, we could use suffix to define groups of child, okay, and we use parentheses to do that. So in this case, you see that we have an element. The name of the element is observation, and we are defining three child nodes to this observation. The first one should always come, and the name is average temperature. That means we have a node observation, okay, and in this node we have average temperature, okay, and then we have two different nodes. Okay, the first one is the minimum temperature and the second one is the maximum temperature. Okay, and we have the question mark. That means it could appear 0 times or 1 time, not more than that. So in our XML document we could have these or we could not have this, right? But this one is mandatory. We need to have the average temperature in this case. But if they should occur, all of them, all of three simultaneously, they should follow the sequence that is defined in that. So average temperature cannot followed by the minimum temperature or the maximum temperature. Okay. Right. So that's what we have already seen for this statement. But if you have the nutrition XML file like this, you can create the document type definition by observing the elements which are used in the XML file. So here you could easily do this task. So how would the food elements definition look like if vitamins and minerals were optional? Okay. So how we can do that? So what we are saying that we have food elements and it has further childs, carbohydrates, proteins, fats, minerals, vitamins and proteins, right? And here we are saying that these two childs could be optional. So if we are writing this kind of statement, we could say we have an element and we are defining the food element in this case, and we are saying that the food could have total fat, carbohydrates, minerals, and vitamins and other further elements. But we have put a condition that these two are optional. Okay. And in which condition, what type of symbol that we can use to represent them as the optional? Yes. Okay. What you wanted to say? Say. Asterisk. Why so? Why asterisk? Zero or more. But in this case, we will have only one mineral with each food element. So we cannot have more minerals with each food element. So it should be a question mark in that case, right? Okay. And then you can have another example. Okay. In this case, we have a polygon which can be defined as a sequence of more than three or more than three points. So that means you need to have x1, y1. X2, Y1, and X1, Y2. That's the minimum criteria for a polygon. And you can join them. And you can have at least minimum 3 points, and maximum you could have more points. Right? But that's the given condition. And if you have more points, you could have different shapes, different polygons created using this. Okay? So here you see an XML representation of the polygon, and you, given the statement, a polygon can be defined as a sequence of three or more XYZ, how could the element declaration look like? Okay. So that is what is asked from you. Okay. And that's what you can check. Okay. So that's a brain teaser for you to actually do it and work on it, right? Yes. You only have three symbols to use that, and it defines as whether it's optional, whether it's one. So the minimum is one in that case. It could be one or more, zero or more, exactly one, as in this case, if nothing is specified. So you have only three symbols to do it, right? So you have to think how you can do that, right? So in the exam, you could be given such kind of XML files, and you would be given a statement describing the definition of the elements, and you would be asked to write the DTD file in that case. So what we have seen until now is that different types of XML documents. We have said that it's data-centric, narrative, and the combination. We have looked at the XML validations. We saw that you can validate your documents using the validators. You could use the built-in XML editor validations. You could write your own parsers to validate it, or you could use this DTD, and we will see in the next class how we could use XML schema to validate. Okay, so these are the different types that we have seen. We could also define attributes. Until now, what you have seen is we have defined the elements. Okay? And the elements can contain attributes also. So if you remember, we have food. In the food, we have servings. And in the servings, we have units. And the value of the unit was gram. And the text of that unit was a numeric value that tells how many grams it is. So we can define the attributes in the document type definition using the same principle. Okay. So here we see we have different definition keywords that could be used. We could use C data for content data. If you remember, if we want our text not to be parsed by the parser, we can define something like as C data, and whatever text we write here will not be processed by the parser but will be displayed as it is. That means if you are using the C data, corrected data, which is unparsed, we did not write the P in that case. Okay. I don't have any, here we did not write the P in that case. That means this will not be parsed by the parser. So we could use any symbols over here, and sign, less than sign, greater than sign, because it will be displayed as it is without any parsing of this text. Okay. We could also define ID. ID should be a unique identifier for each of these attributes. Okay. This only makes sure that whenever we are writing an XML file, and if, for example, calories has an attribute, and if the attribute value is ID, and the value that we are specifying as the ID should always be unique. We could not have an calorie attribute, calorie element, which have an ID whose value is 1, and another calorie element whose attribute is ID, again whose value is 1. So we could not have two ID values with the same value. That means that if we predefined the ID, it means that it's a unique identifier that we are using for the attributes. And we could have ID references. So for example, here we have calories whose ID is 1. Okay. And we could have a data type defined as ID reference. That means that if we have protein, and this protein has an attribute also ID, and the data type of this ID is ID reference. That means that whatever value we are given, it should refer to one of those pre-existing ID values. For example, in our case, we have an ID 1. Okay. The data type of this ID is ID. That means it's a unique identifier. And the data type of this ID of element protein is, let's say, ID reference. That means that the value of this ID reference should point to an existing attribute value, which is an ID. So it could either refer to 1 in that case. Okay. But here this one is not used. The data type of this ID is not ID. That means it can not be unique in every case. It should refer to an existing ID value. So here we have three different types of data types that we could use for the attributes. And these data types are defined in this case. But here we are using the element, that means we are defining the element. When we are defining the attribute, we will specify with a keyword here that we are defining an attribute. We will see that in the coming slides. Also, the attribute could be optional or it could be mandatory. And there are two different ways of doing it. So the first one is the required. If we write the hash required, that means that the attribute is always required whenever we are defining the element. Okay. For example, in this case, I have an element food. And this is the first food. It could have an ID equals to 1. This is the second food element. It could have an ID equals to 2. And in my this file, if I define that the food has an attribute, which is, let's say, attribute list. Food has an attribute ID. And the ID is of type identity ID. Let's say it's a unique identifier. And it should always be required. So I could put hash and the required keyword. That means that whenever I'm writing the food element in my XML file like this, I should always have this ID attribute. I cannot skip this ID attribute because I've predefined it as part of my document definition. So we could have an required ID, which is mandatory, or we could have an implied keyword, which means that the ID attribute in that case is optional. And that's the way how we can define the attribute. So we have the attribute list. That means that we are defining an attribute of the element protein. Okay. So here the first text that you see here is the name of the element. So we have an element, we are defining its attribute list, and the attribute it has is units. And the data type of units is C data. That means whatever units is has, it will not be parsed. So we could write symbols and the other things. And it's an implied attribute. That means that when we are defining the protein, so when we are defining the protein, it's up to us whether we use the attribute units or not. It's optional. Okay. In some of these elements, we could have the attributes units given. In some of them, we could skip them. In both cases, this is correct because here it's implied. Also, you see that we have another example, attribute list. We are defining the attributes of calories. And in that case, the calories has two attributes. The first one is the total, and the second one is the fact. Okay. The first one, total, is of type C data, and it is required. The fact is also of type C data, and it is also required. And then we could have selection-based attributes, in which we can select only one value at a time when we are writing the XML statement. And here we see that we have an attribute list of element date. So date is an element. Okay. And date has an attribute month. And the value of this month could either be one of these. It could be January, February, March, December. But it should be only one value when you're writing your XML statement. Okay. And here we said that it's required. So that means whenever you are declaring an element date, you should have an attribute month that should have either one of these values, because this line here shows that it's a selection between all of these given values. So again, we have another example where we have attribute list and the element is car. The attribute is license plate number, and the type of this attribute is ID. That means that this license plate number should always be unique. Okay. And it is always required. So whenever you are declaring an element of type car, you need to have an attribute which is called license plate number, and you should assign a value to this license plate number, and the value should always be unique. It should not be the same value that you have used in your document somewhere else with the same ID. And then we have another example. In that case, we have attribute list parking lot, which is an element. It has an attribute reserved for, and the type of this attribute is ID reference. That means it's referring to any of these license plate IDs. Okay, so its value should always be the ID that is used for the car element. Okay, like the example I've given you over there. Okay, so the third, the next way is we can validate the documents in any of these programming languages. So here you see one script which tells you how you can validate your XML file, provided you have the document type definition, by writing a code snippet in the PHP file. So you have the methods to load this DOM object model. So you create the document object model as a document, and then you can use the validate method to validate your XML file. But since this is programming specific, so I will not go into too much detail. You can do it in any of these programming languages you are comfortable with. So I'm not putting any restrictions to follow this script. You could do it using your HTML script, JavaScript. You can do it in PHP, Perl, okay, or any language that you're comfortable with. And then we could have different elements for the document type definitions. The ones we have already covered are the important ones, which quite often appear in your exams also. The other ones are mandatory. If you are interested, you can go through them in detail and you can check them. Okay. So here we have additional elements, contributions, constructions. We could have choice, we could have mixed content, we could have any content. So these could be the data types that we could define with these elements here. We have seen ID reference. Here you see another one, ID reference with S. That means that if your element has an attribute and that attribute has a data type ID reference with S, that means that that attribute should always refer to more than two ID attributes. Okay. For example, here we said that we have calories. It has an attribute, let's say ID. The value of the ID is 1, and in this case we have this ID as a unique ID. That means the data type of this ID in the document type definition will be a keyword ID. Okay. And let's say we have another calories element. It has an attribute ID and the value is 2, because we have defined that your calories element in that case could have an attribute ID of type ID. Okay. That means that this is mandatory and it should always be unique. So in this case we have two unique values. Okay. And you can close these calories here. Okay. And for example, if we have another element, protein in our case, and the protein has an ID also, but the type of this ID is, let's say, ID ref. Okay. So if its data type is ID REF without S, that means it should always pinpoint to one unique ID, which is already defined with any of these other elements in the XML document. So the value that should come over here should either be this one or that one. That means that this protein is referring to either this element or this element, because the data type of this ID is ID reference.